When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to another episode from Stats of the Day. Today is a special episode. There is no match day, of course. There is an international break. National teams are playing this weekend and the rest of the week to come. We thought we were going to do a review of the first four game weeks of the season. Try to gather things together. We've been analyzing match day by match day. Somehow they are isolated data, but now we are going to gather them all together and see consistent players who stood out from the first four game weeks and whether they are still good options to have if you have one of those options. Today is going to be a shorter stream than usual. Understandably, we might get less viewers, busy with other things, family, vacation and all of that. So we have a relaxing agenda, so get your tea or your coffee and let's have a look. And I want to first give a minute for the viewers to come in, so welcome everyone. Koldozi, welcome. How are you doing? We have a poll as well, just trying to make it a bit more dynamic. So the poll for this day: which goalkeeper has the most saves over the last four game weeks? So we have four options: Neto, Leno, Turner, or Pickford. And I just picked this. I picked Pickford because I want to cheer up for the owners who have had high expectations from him. I put in brackets that it's not him. So you literally have three options to have. It's actually close between the three goalkeepers. There is another fourth goalkeeper who are really, really close to, who is really close to them. But obviously he's not the highest. So let's have a look. Very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm doing very well as well. One more week before my vacation starts. It's a late summer vacation, so I look forward to that. After this episode, I'll be back in game week 7. That's where we will discuss the match, and the show will be back as well. Alright, so let's slowly start with my team. So this is the team that I'm heading to game week 5. Basically, I haven't even checked exactly what is my rank. I think it was 1.1 million. 1.2 million. So I don't think it's too bad. I had three consecutive green arrows. So basically started at 2.4 million for game week one, and it's been upward and improvement over the game weeks. Am I happy with this team? Yes, and I think there are a couple of issues that I want to address, especially Champions League will start with the top teams. And Europa League and all of that. So there are players where I think I have too many rotation risk players now that I want to address, and definitely Jota, Foden, Akanji are the three that I look at and think maybe I should start de-risking one of those three to someone who can play 90 minutes. We've seen with Jota, he's capable of coming off the bench and scoring. I just don't know how sustainable is that. He has got a hole in game week 2, and that wasn't enough for him to start. And I think now the front three speak for themselves in Liverpool: Salah, Diaz, and Darwin. So Jota will unfortunately be, I think, will continue to start from the bench. Foden and Akanji is the least risky, I would say, although now Stones might be back very soon. I think he played today. I'm not sure if didn't watch the England game. Let me take a quick look. So no, he didn't play today. Did he make the bench? Because I'm not entirely sure about. I know John Stones will be back after the international break, but is he fit now? I don't think he is. So he wasn't even on the bench for England today. But I think in the midterm, once he's back, I think he will be a starter and he will take up one of those positions. And I think Diaz is just as good as ever now, and he's kind of a leader in the back line. So you only think of Akanji, Ake, Guardiol, and Walker somehow to share minutes, somehow. Maybe Stones is a right back, but when Walker plays, Stones is a central midfielder. Akanji as a center back, he could play on the right, on the left, but more so to the right. So Akanji is still fine. I just think that the next six game, which for Man City, they could keep five or six clean sheets basically. So I want to make sure that I get as many as possible. It would be a dream to get all the clean sheets that they will get, but I'm sure that I will miss the ones where they do, and I will have my players start where they don't. So that's a typical FPL. As of Jota, yes, I think I've mentioned from game week 2, it looks like that Diaz is more nailed, and I agree with Lars. I own Diaz and I'm hesitating on keeping him. No, I don't agree with Diaz. I thought you are not hesitated. I think Diaz is really good. I think he is. Maybe with the Champions League we will see some change, but overall, I would definitely have Diaz over Jota. That's for sure. Whether I have Diaz or any Liverpool midfielder, that's a different story. It depends on what you think of the fixtures and the other players. But if I have to choose one of the Diaz or Jota, definitely go Diaz. That's the only two or three issues. I think the rest are fine. Jackson is testing my blood pressure, but it might look stupid if I ship him out and he scores against Bournemouth. Form says sell, for sure. I mean, he's missing sitters. Like, what can you ask more from Jackson? But the fixtures are there, and he just got to keep him. I think he is kind of never buy, never sell. I have no idea. So I will keep him for at least one more game. But I can't. If I have two City players, I would definitely go for Alvarez long time ago. But I am maxed out on City players, so I cannot go for Alvarez while having Foden. But there is another striker I'm going to mention. He's in the table. Might be of a good use in game week 7, where we have a double game week, the first double game week of the season. So we'll keep an eye on that. Archer is starting for Sheffield United, and he hold. Sadly, I missed his hold, like probably everyone else. But that's okay. Okay, moving on. Let's start with goalkeeper. But before that, let me see. How are you doing, guys, with 33 votes on the goalkeeper situation? Okay, there is a majority on Leno. Did you study this, guys? Or it was too easy of a choices? I thought it might be tricky because Ternal has done a very good job during the first four game weeks. I think half of the saves came from one match, but overall he was fine. Okay, so let's reveal the answer by looking at the next table, which is the goalkeeper's table. So you can see that Leno is the highest with a number of saves with 22. Next comes Fotheringham of Sheffield United with 20, and then Neto with 19, and then a group of goalkeepers with 16. You have Vicario, you have Turner, you have Areola, and you have Pickford at 12, and Onana at 15. So well done to you guys. 80% of you voted for Leno. That looked easy, but that's good. Basically, Leno had the most saves in the first four game weeks. But if you look at the big chances conceded, it doesn't look great. You'd like to have a mix between less big chances conceded and higher number of saves, because that means the shots that he concedes are more savable or had lower HG, so that the chance of saving and maybe keeping clean sheet is high. But if you concede a lot of big chances and at the same time you are getting a lot of saves, it kind of, if every TM you make 3-4 saves but you concede 2, then overall you're not getting many points anyway. So it's still something if you have Leno, and I know a few drafts, not many, but I know a few who started the season with Leno. So I'm not sure what is the schedule, what's the table in terms of points, how many points Leno has got. Let's have a look at that. So if you go to the list, so basically Vicario is top of the role keepers. And Leno is third with 19 points. So actually, it's not too bad. It's not too bad at all. You have Leno next with, after Fullingham, Leno and then Neto of Bournemouth. The problem with Bournemouth, they don't keep clean sheets. So it's still, as much as Neto is trying to get save points, after all, they don't get a clean sheet. So if you look at Neto, he is in the ranking, he's down in the list. I can't even see him yet. He has 15 points. To be fair, it's very tight with goalkeepers. He has more points than Onana. So as someone who has Onana, that must be very disappointing. Vicario with 16 saves. Notice the XG prevented as well. Not only they are making a lot of saves, but also the XG prevented is really good for Fotheringham. He has a 3.1 plus, which means he prevented at least 3 more goals to concede. And he is by a margin higher than Leno and Neto, who are about 2 goals plus. Vicario at 1.7, Turner at 1.7, Ariola at 1.6, with 16 saves as well. So basically these are the 6 top goalkeepers from game week 4, from the first 4 game weeks until game week 4. So if you owned one of them, you are looking really good in terms of points, in terms of form. But now if we go lower in the table, Pickford with an HG prevented of minus 0.7, with only 12 saves, with 8 goals conceded, not great, but it's not the worst. Onana with 15 saves, 7 goals conceded, with a minus HG prevented, with HG prevented of minus 0.9. So he comes really low. I think if you put all goalkeepers together, Onana is about 15th or 16th in terms of goalkeeper form. So for FPL, that's what matters. I know Onana has a skill in passing and all of that, and he kind of started doing this, but still, the defense of Man United is still really bad. Although they have had a tough game against Spurs, so against Arsenal. So yeah, so if you are in a wild card, you had Onana before, I would definitely consider going to one of the goalkeepers that I mentioned. But if you are not on a wild card, I don't think he's a rush to sell unless you are really in need of the cash and you look for 0.5 or even 0.9 to save. Now Ariola is 4.1, Turner is 4.0, so you can really save a lot with the move from Onana to one of the goalkeepers. Onana is still, I have a feeling he will come good. He had played Arsenal and Tottenham in the first 4 game weeks, so it's never going to be easy. I think the game against Nottingham Forest is disappointing, and Wolves has done fine. So overall, yeah, not great, but it's not a disaster. In terms of worst goalkeepers to have, definitely Ramsdale and Johnston, with only 5 saves for the season. Expected goal prevented is minus 1.6 for Johnston and minus 1.8 for Ramsdale, the worst in the goalkeepers ranking, unfortunately for Ramsdale. So I definitely think you need to consider selling Ramsdale for some other goalkeeper. Right, so let's move on from goalkeepers to defenders. Okay, so The list of defenders are are really small. Try to squeeze in as many as I can. But we noticed in the first four games, the budget defenders have done just fine. And not many defenders have returned attacking returns apart from Stupinian and Chilwell in the first game week. But overall, it's been really about clean sheets. It's not as many for assists and goals. And you can see from the list, names are not names you owned last season. And probably now looking at defenders like Trent and Trippier, I've mentioned him here because they might be of interest in the next few game weeks, and compare them to the other defenders that that already stood out, like Cash. Even Varane had higher HCI than Trent in the first four game weeks. So here is the top of the defenders. Matty Cash at 4.6 million, 5 shots on target, HCI of 2.38, which is extremely good. Coming next is Chilwell with 9 chances created, only 1 shot on target. They should be 2, they should be 1 goal. I'm not gonna forget that Chilwell, the ball that I have no idea what he did. It's good to reflect on, but I cannot reflect on Chilwell's missed chance. No, I can't. But total XGI of 2.15, second best defender in the first 4 game weeks. So while I had a feeling that Chilwell is a flop or is not returning as it should be, he's actually the second best defender in terms of stats. So with the fixtures to come for Chelsea, it's kind of okay. Calm down, maybe give him more time, more game weeks. But the thing that I notice is with Chilwell is when Chelsea struggle, Chilwell tends to be one of those who gets subbed off early as a switch of a structure, because he's probably treated more as an attacker than a defender. And so when they need a new winger like Mudrik or someone else, then it can come at the cost of a Chilwell being subbed off. So that's something I didn't like, and I think it happened at least once, maybe twice, in the last 4 game weeks. So it's a bit of a situation. So ideally you want Chelsea to be ahead in the game, scoring goals, being in good position, so you can make sure that Chilwell has more time and a chance to keep a clean sheet or attacking returns. Next is Stupinian, as expected. 12 chances created, 3 shots on target, a total XGI of 1.48. I think he is by far the best decisions the FPL managers have had done to start the season with. He's up now in the price from 5.0 to 5.3. But will that continue? That's the question. We're not in a rush to sell him. But definitely the next few game weeks, I think there might be some good options elsewhere. But they have Man United away. Yes, I know Man United. He can assist against Man United, but I don't think he will keep a clean sheet. Bournemouth is good. Aston Villa away is kind of tricky. You expect goals from both sides. Liverpool and Man City. So effectively from the next 5 game weeks, you would probably start Stupinian in 2, maybe 3rd. Against Bournemouth and Villa, maybe you start him against Man United, but I don't think I will ever consider starting Stupinian against Liverpool and City, which comes at a good time of game week 8, where probably managers will do the wild card, because there is between game week 8 and 9 there is a 2 weeks gap, so maybe it's a good time to wild card. But if you are not on a wild card and you look to keep Stupinian, that's absolutely fine. I think he's good for not necessarily game week 5, but maybe 6 and 7, and then you consider going elsewhere. You have also Varane, Henry, Romero, my boy. I have to include him. But it doesn't mean he's not too bad. I think the goal he scored, yes, it had an HG of only 0.04. But overall, Romero, compared to other defenders, is still fine at 0.76. I missed Udogie in the list. I'm not sure where he rank, but If I open the, I'll try to read this data again, but I expect to have Oduri somewhere here, but he should be around the around the defenders like Stupinian and Chilwell, because he's done a great job, and he's done an assist as well. But Oduri is still fine, Romero is still fine, and now we come to players, a list of players like Trent Alexander-Arnold and Trippier. So I think we've done a good job of not owning both of them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I was looking at Oduri. Yes, Oduri is just below Trippier. Wow. Okay, so it's not as high as I expected. Oduri total XGI of the last 4 game weeks is only 0.58. I'm kind of a bit surprised with that. But yeah, looking back, he had only 4 chances created in the last 4 game weeks. So anyway, Trent and Trippier. I think Trippier is growing to be a popular asset in the next game weeks when the fixtures that Newcastle have. So the question is he a good buyer? I know what Trippier is capable of, but he hasn't shown any of that this season. Probably last season was different. Maybe he kind of overperformed. You never know still. But to be fair to Trippier, he played Brighton, Liverpool, Man City, and arguably Villa. But Villa was a good game, but yet he didn't do much. So, 3 tough games. So, I feel it's a bit harsh to judge Trippier based on 3 difficult opponents. But the next set of game weeks will be Brentford home, Sheffield away, Sheffield United away, Burnley at home, West Ham away, Crystal Palace at home. It's really, really good run. And I still have my doubts whether Trippier is good value for money. At 6.5 is kind of a steep price, but because he's done that good last season, maybe he's going to be a differential still when you go for him. So if you are looking for a move from Stupinian to Trippier, yes, there is a 1.4 effectively gap, because you're going to sell Stupinian at 5.1. if you have him from the start of the season. But maybe this 1.4 will give you a great advantage over managers who are still putting fires elsewhere in the midfield and the attack, but you are taking advantage of a Trippier before this set of game weeks. He has created 10 chances, no shots on target, a total XGI, all of it coming from the assist of 0.59. So even against DC3, he could deliver these numbers, which isn't bad. So I actually started to convince myself that he might be a good option while talking to you guys, because until this stream, I was not entirely sure about, is Trippier, is it a good time to jump on Trippier's train? It could well be a great option to have. Yamer, thank you very much. Excellent stream. Yeah, thank you. Glad that you enjoyed this one. And we are having 70 viewers here. It's great, given the international break and no matches, at least for Premier League. So thank you everyone for your time to join the stream. Okay, so let's take a look at the midfielders. And the midfielders, these are too big that I decided to do 2 slides, because the popular names are many, and it kind of fair for you guys to know where each player stands compared to the other ones. So of course, Mbeumo is really, really on a different league. 9 goal attempts, 6 shots on target, 5 chances created, playing both ways as an attacker and creator, total AGI of almost five goals. I think he is the biggest mistake that I've done. I started with the season without him. So if you started with him, congratulations. He delivered big. And I have a feeling this will not stop. Yes, it's kind of a bit of a performance, but Bueno is out of position. He is the main man now, so with Wissa, but even Bueno is more. He has the penalties. Of course, this XGI for him includes the penalties that he's got this season. So it's still a great. I mean, 6.8 for these stats and for these numbers, it's kind of okay. Of course, he's a midfielder, but he doesn't have a big chances created or high total chances created because he's out of position as a striker. So the requirement for him to create the chances is less now. It's more about scoring goals. If you look at Bruno Fernandes at 8.4, four big chances created, 14 in total, 13 goal attempts, and total XGI of 3.96. I think the owners are kind of unlucky, or he underperformed a little bit compared to these numbers. Saka doing just fine, as you would like to see. Finally back on the penalties. We kind of scared a bit. Odegaard took that one, but probably it's a one time off. So thank you very much, Saka, for taking the next one. At 8.7, two big chances created from the 14. 12 goal attempts, 5 shots on target, and total XGI of 3.84. In contrast, we will see in the next slide, Odegaard and Martinelli are way less. There's a big margin between the three. So the three of them started at 8.5. And I think the best decision is to definitely start with Saka. If you've had a second Arsenal midfielder, that's fine then. But if you prioritize, or if you punted on one of the other midfielders over Saka, then you are behind in terms of points. Madison started really strong with Tottenham, 7.8 million, 0.3 increase already in his price. 10 total chances created, 2 of them are big, 13 goal attempts, 9 on target. He is putting out a striker level of stats, and he's acting as a number 10, but he's mixing up this with more shots, more being involved in goals, and that's the definition of a perfect midfielder in FPL. I think Madison represents that very, very well. Even look at the XA and the XG, they are really, really similar to each other, almost identical. 1.8 XA, 1.6 XG. So a total of 3.42 total XGI for Madison. Then Salah, Bowen, Mitoma, and Rashford with XGI of those four between 3 and 2.5. Salah first with 7 shots on target, 7 chances created, 4 of them are big. Bowen, he has 13 goal attempts, XGI of 2.77, and then very close by Mitoma and slightly lower Rashford with 2.5 XGI. Now, let's compare Fernandes and Rashford. You will see there is an outperformance from, well, better stats from Fernandes over Rashford in terms of total XGI, but similar numbers when it comes to goal attempts. Of course, Fernandes is creating more. But if you compare the Arsenal midfielders, you will see that Saka, as we mentioned, really third on the list amongst the midfielders. But here in this slide is continuation of the list, of course. You will see Odegaard with only 1.74 XGI and Martinelli really low in the list, that I had to look up for him and add him to the list of midfielders with only 1.22 XGI, which is concerning. I haven't watched much of Arsenal this season. I watched a couple of games, but it seems like from the numbers that Martinelli and Odegaard are kind of less involved in front of the goal, more so or more towards the creation, because Martinelli here Odegaard, is having only 2 chances created over the last 4 game weeks, and Martinelli is only 4. So it's the opposite. It's they are less involved in the creation, but for some reason their quality of chances are not high enough, especially Martinelli with 9 goal attempts, 3 shots on target, with total XG of 0.68. So it's a slight concern for the owners between Odegaard and Martinelli if you compare it to Saka. But if you are owner of Son, especially the last game week of this before the international break, I think these numbers are skewed by the last game week. Total chances created of 9, 2 of them are big, a total HGI of 2.17. But it's a great opportunity that Son is now back on the menu as a very differential option at 9 million. And next game week, City play West Ham away, which you could by default still captain Haaland. But Sheffield United at home, it could be a great opportunity to captain Madison or Son as a differential captain. Obviously, even if it's West Ham away, it could still backfire because that's Haaland. But I just represent here a great opportunity for Son or Madison to be a great captain options against Sheffield United before 2 tricky games against Arsenal and Liverpool, and then a great run of games with Luton, Town, Fulham, Crystal Palace and Chelsea and Wolves afterwards. So if you have Madison, you might consider him as at least a vice captain, maybe a captain. I think later next week we will find out more about the international break and players and injuries and form and all of that, but it could be something. Izzy is someone who I owned the first 3 game weeks and absolutely did nothing, and when I sold him last game week he scored 13 chances created, 19 goal attempts, 5 shots on target. I think the team did not help converting his chances, and at some point he was unlucky with his goal attempts and not scoring, and at least 1 penalty claim that wasn't counted for him. He could have won the penalty if he's not the pen taker, but I think he's a pen taker as well, penalty taker, so he could have scored from a penalty spot as well. So at least 1 or 2 more goals Izzy should have had the previous 4 game weeks. But if you held him all this time, then well done. Well done to that. One of the names that we wanted to chat about as well is Foden and Diaby, because they are names that we plan to start the season with, and some already did with Diaby. Total XGI of 1.33 for Diaby and 1.43 for Foden, so there is not much between both of them. And actually Foden is kind of, he had that chance, that assist for Ake's goal against Fulham, and he did absolutely nothing for the rest of the game. This was the only chance or the only XGI that he's done, and it was like 0.04. so yeah, it's a worry if you have Foden with the Champions League coming up, and it seems like Pep is ready to start Doku more often. Grealish got stayed on the bench for the last game, but maybe he would be back, then Doku would be on the right. It's a bit of a risk. I think I'd like to see Foden starts one more game and then I'll consider going elsewhere. But yeah, if he doesn't hold the next game week, then it would be a tough decision for me to keep him with all the rotation around him, especially that he's not, I think he's done one great game where he got the assist and 9 pointer, but apart from that it's been not so great for Foden. Okay, Diaz with a total AGI of 1.69, I think he's fine. That's okay. It's not too bad. And Diaby, we mentioned him already. 7 chances created, 9 goal attempts, and total XGI of 1.33. All right. So last but not least, we will talk forwards. So Haaland, total XGI of 4.81, and I'm actually a bit surprised that he is not the highest in the game. He's the second highest after Mbeumo. Kind of surprised me a bit, but credit to Mbeumo. I think he's done very, very good job in the first 4 game weeks. 20 goal attempts, far more than any other forward. 10 shots on target, more than any other forward. He even missed 3 chances, not the highest. He's the second highest, so third highest after Watkins and Jackson. But that doesn't matter as long as he's scoring goals. So a total XGI mostly coming in from the expected goals, and he is by far amongst the forwards, by far the highest with 4.8. Jackson comes next, and the numbers are funny. Like 15 goal attempts, only 5 on target. That's an accuracy of 33%. 33.33333, you know that, percent for Jackson. 6 chances missed. That's huge. More than any other striker in the game. Total XGI of 3.39, second in the game. Or third in the game. After Mbeumo, Haaland, then it's Jackson. So in terms of XGI, it's yeah, Jackson number 3. And the FPL results are 1, 1, I think 7, and then 1. So he's got more yellow cards, 3, than goals this season with 1. So it's disappointing. It's the variance between the stats and the reality of Jackson is still difficult to grasp for the managers. But the whole hope is that he the things come back to the mean and these numbers are finally converted into goals for Jackson owners. Edward and Ferguson are next. 19 goal attempts for Edward. Surprisingly, I've never seen anyone talking about him. He's doing just brilliant. Third amongst the forwards with 2.5 XGI. 19 goal attempts, 8 shots on target. He's not that exciting pick because probably he plays for Palace, the price bracket, the structure on the community is like Alvarez and Haaland. Alvarez, Jackson and Haaland, or either of these three. João Pedro to start with in game week 1. So no one has actually paid attention to Edward. Which is a big chance missed if you were thinking of him. Ferguson, his hat trick in the last game was something important for him. I'm not sure what's the situation with his injury, but if he comes back fit very quickly, I think he is the closest to being nailed, along with the likes of Mitoma and Marsh. But I still think that front line with the many attackers that they have, they will still share minutes. But a hat-trick like this from Ferguson definitely gives him an edge, if he's fit, to start many, many more minutes. Vissa with a total XGI of 2.46. Alvarez 2.42. 14 goal attempts, 6 shots on target. Ioane. I knew how to pronounce the name. I feel like I forgot it. Ioane. Yeah, I think Ioane. Total XGI of 2.01. 7 goal attempts, 3 shots on target. Notice that he had probably one of the lowest goal attempts, yet he is really high up in the table, and that's simply because he's not spam shooting or he's not shooting from on site. He's getting high quality chances and he is converting them, and that explains why he has fewer attempts but still relatively high expected goal involvement. And that's part of being clinical, and I really like to have him from the start of the season if he was at 6 million, because I know him from Bundesliga. I know how good he is, but I never had the chance to own him this season. So Yeah, it's good for Awoniyi. I think we will look elsewhere with the strikers. But we mentioned already in game week one that Awoniyi would be someone that you would like to have, and he returned a couple of goals in the start of the season. So great stuff from him. Watkins afterwards, 8 million, 10 goal attempts, 3 only shots on target, and total XGI of 1.95. I'm not sure, guys. Let me know if you had the chance to own Watkins. If you are in the stream already, tell me how you feel about it. I think there is a mixed feeling. I think it's kind of an okay, but there could be more from Watkins over the last few game weeks. And tell me whether you are keeping him or not. Matt Evans, I missed Archer. He is the best EVA. I haven't missed Archer. It's more that he is very, very low in the listing. That from the first game he scored, I think we mentioned him the last game week in the stats. He scored, and his shot was hit the post basically, and then Pickford on goal afterwards. So I remember it was about 0.3 total XGI for that game, but that's all he's got, right? Because he didn't play minutes before that. So yeah, that it's this one is cumulative, and I agree that Archer is by far the best 4.5, and I have him in anticipation that he moves to Sheffield United. That was a rumor before the start of the season, and it happened. So yeah, I think Archer would be. Are you going to start him? That's the problem. My best case scenario is first up in relatively winnable matches or matches where Sheffield United can score goals. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure that I will have Archer as a starter, but I'm more than happy to have him as an enabler. Lars, I let go of Watkins. Maybe I will pick him up again later. Maybe in wildcard 8 for Alvarez when Man City has worse matches. So it seems like you switched Watkins to Alvarez, and I think that's a profitable deal, right? Alvarez has been stronger in terms of points and returns and consistency. I still have Watkins, thinking Alvarez, Paul is mentioning. Yeah, it's like Lars with the opposite thoughts. He has Watkins and he's looking to ship him ship him out. So interesting thoughts. Someone I want to mention very quickly before the end of the stream is Morris. Because of the double game week of Luton Town have in game week 7, I really wanted to give a mention to Morris because yes, maybe most of you will ignore that game week, will not have any of Burnley or Luton Town, but I just think there might be an opportunity for Morris. It could be a great chance for him, or for you to have him. He hasn't done bad. I mean, 9 goal attempts, 2 shots on target. It's not the best, right? But in double game weeks, you get 2 matches. He is the main striker. One of the 2 games is against Burnley. So definitely some these kind of games when it's head-to-head with Burnley, Luton Town, Everton, you would expect that there will be some goals between both sides. So maybe this is the game where Morris scores and he gets you a 10 to 13 pointers over 2 games, which will be absolutely fine. And 5.5 million is an enabler for you to have someone else in midfield or a third striker. So keep an eye on him. I don't think you should go now and buy him ahead of game week 5, but I will definitely consider him maybe to replace Jackson in game week 7. If Jackson continues to impress us with the missed chances. They have Bournemouth and Aston Villa in game week 5 and 6. Game week 7 is against Fulham away. It seems like wrong to sell him, especially that they have Burnley away in game week 8. But unless I switch to 3 strikers, it has to be Jackson to Morris, which sounds like, what are you talking about? But it could be something. Of course, I'm talking like almost 3 weeks ahead. So we will go back and talk about it ahead of game week 7 when... so yeah, it could be something. It could be something you would like to consider. Okay, guys. So that's it. I actually planned a 30-35 minutes stream, but we are now hitting 46 minutes. So I think that was still a good content to share with you. And yeah, thank you everyone. We are reaching 85 viewers. That's amazing. Thank you everyone for joining the stream here. And that's all for today. I will be back in a couple of weeks time with game week 7 match day report. And until then, good luck everyone. Enjoy the international break. Try not to tinker too much, but if you do so, hopefully you make the right choices ahead of the next couple of game weeks. And then guys, I will be checking in with you all soon, and take care everyone, and have a nice weekend ahead. Enjoy the sun if you are in a sunny location like here in Europe. Otherwise, I will see you later guys. Cheers. Bye bye.